Over the past few weeks, well, I think it was last week, we took a bit of a detour, how we were called not to worry when there's wars and rumours of wars. We're told not to worry, but God's kingdom is advancing. It's moving across the nations, and it's... And then we, as we've sung about this morning, we long for the return of Jesus. We long for Jesus to return. And speaking to Dan the other day about last week, he used the phrase alert but not alarmed, which I thought summed up really well last week's message about being alert, being looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ, anticipating his return, praying, longing for his return, but also at the same time not being alarmed by all the stuff that we see going on in the world, all the wars, the rumours of wars and all that type of stuff, not to be alarmed by that. Jesus has already said this is going to happen, but don't panic, don't worry, just look upwards, long for my coming. So we took that detour last week. This week we're going to rejoin the track of discipleship sermons that we've been looking at. So far, we have looked, and we've broken this down into bite-sized chunks. We've looked at the call of discipleship, what it means that God breaks into a person's life, calls them out of darkness, brings that transformation in a person's life. And then we looked at the covenant of discipleship. We've looked at the promises that God gives us. God gives us promises that I'm going to use you. I'm going to help you. And I've created you for a purpose to go to the nations, to be a disciple maker. And how he said that I'm in all of this, all of your walk with Christ, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. You're never going to be alone. In all this walk, in your relationship with Jesus, there's not going to be one moment where God is not going to be with you. We also looked at the cost of discipleship. That in our walk with Jesus, there is cost. We looked at that whole thing of self-denial, taking up our own cross and following him. We looked at the characteristics of a disciple. What are we aiming for here? What should a disciple, a follower of Jesus, look like? Because we need someone to look at. And of course, we look at Jesus. We look at Jesus and see what he was like. And we see great humility and love and generosity. But we also see other things we want to aspire to be. As we look to the teachings of Scripture, we want to be a teachable people. We want to be humble in spirit. These are all the characteristics of a disciple. And this morning, I want us to go on to the next one in this series, and that's the command of discipleship. Okay, the command of discipleship. You can guess what we're going to be looking at this morning when I talk about the command of discipleship. It was William Sangster. You may have heard of him. He was a famous Methodist preacher, and he was pastor of a church in Scarborough, and he had amongst his congregation rather an eccentric man, rather zealous, rather full of God, wanted to take every opportunity to speak about God, but quite in an unconventional way at times. And this was in a good amount of years ago. And this man worked as a barber. And one day, the story is told of this gentleman walking in to the barber. He wanted to shave. And so this eccentric guy lathered him up and then approached him with the unsheathed cutthroat razor and said, "Are you prepared to meet God?" At which point, the man just quickly got up and ran away. And we probably have met somebody at some point in our lives, in our Christian walk, who's got a rather overzealous desire to reach people, but sometimes maybe not in the most helpful way. And this morning, I want us to look at this area of a Christian's life where we are called to tell others about Jesus. And I want us to leave here this morning with, I don't want us to leave here with, I'm not talking about new techniques, new skill sets to go out and reach people. And I also don't want us to go away from here with the sense of a school report from God saying, must try harder as well. That element of, you've done okay, but come on, let's have a bit more effort. No, we're not talking about that. I want us to look at what the Bible says about this and hopefully encourage us all to realize that God can use us all in this area to a lesser or greater degree. You may be unsure of many things in your life. You may be unsure of what career God wants you to have, or where he wants you to live, or area of church life to serve in. A whole bag of different things that you may be unsure of in your life. But one thing you can be absolutely sure of is this: God wants to use you in the area of making disciples, of going and making disciples. He wants to use you in the area of telling others the good news of Jesus and introducing them to Jesus. You can be absolutely sure of that. So before we get into it, just a few things to know. First thing is this: I want us to be careful. Be careful, because remember, at the end of the day, you cannot save anyone. Okay? You cannot save anyone. And I think many Christians have felt the onus on them to say, go out and save people, to go out and rescue them. It's down to them to save, and it's not. God saves. God breaks in. God transforms. God rescues. God does it. And in his grace, he uses people like us. It's quite astounding. So that's the first thing I want us to realize, that we must be careful. We must always remember that we just obey God. We allow him to use us by sharing the good news. And it's quite astounding. God actually uses us in the proclamation of the gospel and the making of disciples. It is an astounding fact. So, Matthew 28. If you want to turn to your Bibles to there, Matthew 28. It will be, obviously, many of you will know where we're going to on this. Matthew 28, we'll start at verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, this has got to be one of the most famous passages of the scriptures that we know for any churchgoer. And it's commonly known as this, the Great Commission. The Great Commission. What is a commission? What does commission mean? Well, it means an instruction, a command. That's why I've called it the command of discipleship. So, for instance, a few years ago, I asked my niece Becky Kauke, all connected there over there. I was going to go through them then, but all the but many of you will know Becky. She's a great artist, and I went to Becky, and as a present for Ruth, I wanted to get a painting painted of our dog Dapper. And so I went to Becky and I said, this is what I'm after. This is the sort of like size and everything. And yeah, and you know, going to give you this money and this is what I want you to do. So it was a commission for a painting to be done, an artist's commission. You may have heard it being explained like that. So I wanted Becky to do this. I'd not commanded her to do that, but I had employed her to do that. You've heard of commissions being set up. For instance, the UN set up commissions to go to investigate certain things, untoward things that are going on in particular nations. Groups of people who have been given a very specific command to go out to those places to find out what exactly is going on. They've been commissioned to go and do that. And in this passage from Matthew 28, we see Jesus right at the end of his time on earth give his final command, that the disciples were told to go to Jesus, to go to Galilee, and they obeyed him. And then it says that when they saw him, in verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him. Now, just let's pause just for a moment here, because just reading that it just like struck me how important that verse is as well. When they saw him, they worshipped him. When they saw the exalted Christ, when they saw the risen Jesus, when they saw him, they worshipped him. And my prayer, and hopefully your prayer, your desire, is that when you see Jesus, you worship him. In times of worship like this morning, it is a time of seeing Jesus. And as we see Jesus, the risen Savior, we worship him. It's the natural overflow of seeing Jesus is to worship him. Seeing Jesus, you bow the knee. Seeing Jesus, your heart goes out in adoration for all that he's done for you. And so it says, when they saw him, they worshipped him. But we are told that some doubted. Now that word doubt used in that particular instance is only used one other time. It's used in Matthew 14 when Peter gets called out by Jesus to go and walk on the water. But Peter does that for a moment, but then he sees the storms, he sees the waves, he sees all of that going on, and what happens? He sinks, and Jesus says to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And there is times for us when we can get so distracted by the things of the world that we take our eyes off of Jesus and it feels like we're sinking. That's the time when we feel like we're sinking, because we're distracted. Legitimate things that are going on. Big crashing waves, stuff happening. We take our eyes off Jesus. And what can happen is we can begin to doubt. Doubt can overtake where fear, where faith was once there. Doubt starts to creep in. We must always keep our eyes on Jesus. And then it carries on. It says, then Jesus came to them and he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore. And then it goes into the verse that we're looking at. What does this mean when it talks about all authority has been in heaven and earth has been given to me? Because Jesus is the exalted Christ, because he has defeated death, he is the firstborn over all creation. He is the head of the body, the church. He is supreme in all things. Everything was created by him and for him. There is no one higher than Jesus. All the power and all the authority is his. All the power and all the authority is his. He has all the power and he has the right to exercise that power. That's what authority is. Having the power and having the right to exercise that power, that's authority. So the command given to his disciples is given on the basis of the authority that Jesus has. Now, it gave the disciples confidence that they follow the command not in their own confidence, but on the authority that Jesus has. And the same goes for us as well. So when he says, and he comes to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore, go, make disciples. It's saying, based on the authority that I have. It gave the disciples great sense of confidence that they can go in the authority of Jesus Christ. They can go and make disciples. That they can go to all nations. It talks about all people groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey the commands of Jesus. And then ending off with what we call the great comfort, which we looked at the other week, of that in all this, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you in all of this. As you go, I'm going to be with you. So that's sort of like the context of this particular passage on of this really important moment when Jesus is saying to his disciples, this is what it comes down to. I have the authority, I'm giving you the authority, and I want you to go and make disciples of all nations. And the way we're going to look at this is I'm going to split this up into two sections. I've just called it coming and going, not in the sense of I don't know whether I'm coming or going, okay, but just coming and going. So in the Bible, we read of different passages where people come to Jesus or meet with God. That's the coming part. So, for instance, in Matthew 10, we read that Jesus called the 12 to them. And so the disciples went to Jesus, they came to Jesus, and he gave them authority. In Matthew 10, we read this, and it says that as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of God is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. Freely you have received, freely give. So Jesus called the disciples to him, and then he says, go. I've given you authority, I've given you power to go. In the Old Testament, we see prophets like Moses, Jonah, Isaiah, Micah, Jeremiah. They all had encounters with God first, then proceeded to go to Israel or Judah, whoever. There was always that coming first. There was always that encounter with God first. And in our passage, we see the disciples encountering Jesus and then being given instructions to go and make disciples. Then, of course, we see it in the early church, Acts 2, day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the meeting with God, and them going to the nations as well. So there must be that coming. And I've split this down into two areas, what I've called fed and filled. If you want to be used to go into the people around you, your friends and acquaintances, your family, and touch people with Jesus, reach people for Jesus, going and making disciples. If you want to be used in that capacity, in that way, then you must make sure you are fed and filled. Two important things. What I mean by this is we need to be fed with the Word of God. Word of God is obviously super important. We need to be a people who constantly feed on it. And when I say feed on it, I mean read it. I mean study it. I mean digest it. Because if you are not reading God's Word, if you are not making that an important part of your daily diet, don't expect to be used by God. Don't expect to make inroads for God into people's lives. You must have the Word of God in you. So important. Matthew 7:24 says, everyone who hears the word of God and puts it into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. So there is a hearing of the word and there is a putting it into practice. It's all very well hearing the word, but it's obeying the word as well. It's living out, putting it into practice. And if you like, if you do that, you're like this. You're like the man who built his house on the rock. When the storms come, when the trouble comes, when those things that try to knock you off guard come, you're stable. You're absolutely solid because your life is built on the word of God. That's so important. We must make sure, as disciples, as followers of Jesus, because that's what disciples are, followers of Jesus. We must make sure we have a healthy diet of the Word of God in our lives. So if you translate that to the natural side of things, you could say that in the natural, eating a nutritionless, tasteless, processed, sugar-filled, vitamin-deficient food, if you ate that type of food on a constant basis, it would do a number of things to you. It would make you lethargic. It would make you weak. You would be more susceptible to illness. You would be unable to lead an unhealthy and productive life. But on the other hand, if you're making sure you're eating your greens and good, healthy, balanced diet of food, of nutrients, fresh food, grains, and all whole grains, and all the rest of it, if you're doing that and cutting out, you know, the good majority of the rubbish stuff, then you can expect to feel increased energy, health, vitality, and more energy, etc. Being able to fend off sickness more and more. So it comes down to diet, but also we translate that back into a spiritual sense as well. We've got to make sure we're feeding on the Word of God, reading the Word of God again and again and again. We say, and not just reading it so you do your verse for the day, but you feed on it, look at it, study it, and ask yourself some questions about it. What does this mean for me? What does God want to say to me through this verse today? It will transform your life when you start doing this and applying it, really applying it. I can speak from experience, and I'm sure many of you can. At times of famine in my own life, in a spiritual sense, where I have neglected the word of God, everything else starts to crumble. I feel weak. My appetite for wanting anything spiritual declines because I'm not feeding on the word of God. It's really important for us to do that. Now, it's important also, if we want to be used by God in this, that we feed on God's word, because it's part of us going to make disciples of all nations. We need God's word in us. God's word says that we're saved by grace through faith. Faith and faith only comes through the word of God. It says in 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, "And how from infancy..." Paul speaking to Timothy, "How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." What does this mean for us? Well, it means that we got to know God's word and learn God's word, so that when we have opportunity, we are able to bring God's word into conversation. We know that God's word is God's word, because the next verse along, 2 Timothy 3:16, all of Scripture is God-breathed, useful for training, correcting, and righteousness, and correcting, and teaching, and all of that. It's useful for all of that. It's all God-breathed. So we've got to know God's word. So when we have those opportunities to speak to people about Jesus, we can bring Scriptures to light. Not that we just fire them off in quick quotation. I'm just going to say this verse to you. See, hey, have a load of this. No, but we can use it gently and wisely. I remember being in a conversation with somebody who was adamant that it was a good person, that, and we're talking about this issue of sin and everything, and he thought, no, there are some people, yeah, obviously bad people, but a lot of good people who don't do bad things wrong. And so I just mentioned, I didn't sort of like say, well, it says in Romans 3:23, no, but I just said, well, actually, the Bible has this to say on this particular matter, and it says this: but all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It says everyone's sinned, everyone's fallen short of that wonderful standard of God. So we need God's word in us if we are to go and make disciples. So we must make sure we are feeding on God's word. Okay? And that's the first thing. Because you may have a desire to be used by God to see your friends and your family saved. Make sure you start here. Feed on God's word. But also, we must make sure we are filled. So not only fed, but filled as well. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Because in Acts 1:4, Jesus told his disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for the gift my Father has promised. He didn't want them to go out to Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth just in their own strength and power, but wait for the power of the Spirit. Wait for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And how many times do we try to win people over just by clever argument and just things that we've picked up from different areas, but we don't go out in the Spirit of God. We don't go out filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't go out having pride, say, oh God, use me today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me wisdom by your Holy Spirit. Help me. Give me sensitivity. Give me boldness by your Holy Spirit. So many times we tried to do that. So this is for all disciples. So for us here this morning, have you been feeding on God's word, and have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Because this is the starting point of being a disciple maker, of going out and being part of that process of making disciples. You must make sure you are fed and you are filled. Why is it important to be fed and filled? Which brings me on to the next point. Is this, and this comes under the going section, is so that we can teach and tell. Okay? So we can teach and tell. So we can move out of our comfort zone and we can teach and tell others about Jesus. And I put them in these two sections, teaching, because there has to be, when telling anyone about Jesus or having that conversation, there has to be at some point an impartation of knowledge. There has to be that moment of an impartation of knowledge. There has to be some point where you explain who God is, why Jesus had to die on the cross, what sin is. And that can be in a smaller or greater degree, but there has to be at some point. You have to speak about this. You have to teach somebody. So, for instance, in the Bible, we see, we looked at this a few weeks ago, Philip speaking to the Ethiopian eunuch, explaining the scriptures to him. That moment of teaching them. No, this is what it means. And then he used other scriptures to bring that to light. And some of us lack confidence in this area. But I want to assure you, it's an area that everyone can grow in. And it doesn't matter how small you think your knowledge is, there's always room for improvement, and God can use you right where you are. Okay, you don't have to get to a certain level of Bible knowledge and then God will use me. You don't have to get to a certain level of I must memorize these amount of scriptures and then God will use me. Go out with what you do know. Go out with what verses have spoken to you. And that you may get them muddled up. You may have just the gist of what the verse says. But go out with that, at the very least. Don't wait until you become the perfect witnessing machine, okay? Because it ain't going to happen. Start now. You can, you know, tomorrow morning, you can wake up tomorrow morning and say, God, I don't know who I'm going to meet today. I don't know what I'm going to say today. But Lord God, I pray, fill me with your Holy Spirit and send me and use me in some way. It doesn't matter how small or how great, but God, use me. It's so important that we grow in this area of learning. It's why, you know, coming to church, listening to God's word. We went to a great time yesterday. Went over to KCC and heard this guy speak about the Father's heart. It's just wonderful. Just sitting under some really awesome teaching, just have that impartation of hearing from God, going to God's big story, hearing about God, and just learning, absorbing, not so that we can be puffed up and not become fed and filled so we can become fat Christians, but we can become fed and filled so we can go out and be faithful Christians, faithful to God's word and go out and reach and touch people. So that's important, learning, and so that we can teach. That's why we're fed, so we can be able to teach people, that impartation of knowledge. That's why with the discovery course that we're holding soon, the discovery course is 5 weeks of teaching. It's teaching. It's an impartation of knowledge. This is what the Bible is about. This is who God is. This is who Jesus is. This is the Holy Spirit is. It's teaching. And through teaching, then God comes. And God saves. And God brings revelation. God highlights by his Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important. But it's also, it's not just teaching, but telling. It's also important for us to know that the part of being a disciple and making disciples is that we have a story to tell. Every single one of us who's had their lives transformed by Jesus has a story to tell. Our testimony. We see this with the woman at the well in John 4:39, where it says, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in the village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Saviour of the world. So this woman had this amazing encounter with Jesus, and she goes off, and what does she do? She goes and says, come and see. Come and I'll show you. I'll introduce you to somebody who told me everything I ever did. She's just telling others what Jesus has done for her. And every one of us who knows Jesus can do this. At the very simplest level, we can say, this is what God has done for me. My life has been transformed. My life has been changed. We can tell others. We are called to tell others. It's part of going and making disciples. It's part of that process. And I think we can get caught up in that whole thing of, well, I must see it right from the very start to the very completion. I must bring this person to Christ. I must see them. You may be just a small stepping stone along the way, but you're still playing your part in going and making disciples. We see it again in Luke 8:26, when the man who had been delivered from a load of demons had, now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him, Jesus, that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your own house, your own family, and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Jesus had transformed his life. And he said, right, now go tell others. Tell others. Tell people your story. Tell people what I've done for you. And the challenge is, are we doing that? When was the last time you had an opportunity to do that? Did you waver at that moment? Or did you say, yes, sir, I did it. I plucked up the courage to do that. We are called to teach and tell. Another instance of someone whose life had been changed in telling others. This man obviously had been absolutely transformed. And we're not told about what happened at the end of that, but we're just told that he went and told others. So if we are a follower of Jesus, if we are professing to be a disciple of Jesus, we have a story to tell. So we should all be growing in the area of the feeding and the filling so that we can do more of the teaching and the telling. It says in John 15, it talks about no branch can bear fruit if it's disconnected from the vine. It's got to be in the vine. It must remain in the vine. It must be connected. And then when you're connected, you bear fruit. And that's the same for us. This is what it's speaking about. We must be connected. We must remain in him, and then we will bear fruit. So we must make sure, before we go out every day, have a checklist if you want. Have I fed on the word of God today? Have I been filled with his Holy Spirit today? And then you can pray. You can pray, God, help me to teach others, to impart truth to others today. Some aspect of your goodness, your glory with others today. And help me and give me courage and boldness to tell others of what you have done for me. This is how we are called to go and make disciples. First of all, we must come to Jesus, come be filled, come be fed, and then go. But so many times, we like the coming, we like the being fed, we like the filling, we like the good times, we like our little moments of intimacy with God, but with no outlet of going outwards. And we must make sure that there is an overflow to those moments where we are receiving from God. We have those times with God this morning. Worship, great. Just think about those truths. Jesus is coming again. But always in mind, I want to go out and tell others about this. This is what I'm called to. This is the great command of being a disciple, is to go. Go out into the world. Make disciples of all nations. So let's just stop there, shall we? And let's just stand, shall we? Let's just stand and pray. I think this just requires a moment for us to respond. And if that's you this morning and you just felt challenged about this whole thing of going making disciples, perhaps you have you felt like you've been great at the receiving, not so great at the going, and God's just spoken to you this morning about the going, and you just want to be used by God. You have a desire in your heart. And there may be a cocktail of mixture of fear also. And I'm worried about how I do this. And I'm not too sure how to do this. Well, that's okay. God can use all of us. Doesn't matter where we are at this moment. God wants to use all of us in this area.